Matthew chapter 28, and as you know, we've been studying, having a series of studies on the comparison of the ministry of Peter, of that with Paul, the gospel that Peter preached as compared to the gospel that Paul preached. Today I want to talk to you about the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, of course, Baptists around the world claim Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 through 20, as their commission. The commission can't possibly be the same of that of Mark chapter 16, Luke 24, and John 20. They're different. In fact, the commissions of Luke 24, Mark 16, John 20 are made in Jerusalem. They're in a room in Jerusalem, but this is made in Galilee. Some very significant things about Matthew 28. To begin with, notice that the commission is effective when Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and in earth. It appears as if this would be in the millennium. When Jesus Christ returns, Jesus Christ will have all power in heaven and in earth. Look in Mark chapter 3. In Mark 3:27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he will first bind the strong man and then he will spoil his house. Well, if I consider it again, would call some names in there. For instance, verse 27. No man, Jesus Christ is the man. He's the man referred to. No man, the Lord Jesus, can enter into a strong man. Well, the strong man there is the devil himself. He's the man of the house. He's the one that people worship when they worship Baal. All right, the Lord Jesus cannot enter into the devil's house. Well, the devil's house has to do with the world system. And spoil his goods, the kingdoms of this world, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Well, when does he do that? Revelation chapter 20 says that, he said, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on Satan, that old devil, and bound him in the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years would fulfill. All right, I'm saying unto you that Jesus Christ will claim this power that is his. This power in heaven and earth will all be his at his second coming. Back in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, go ye therefore. In other words, due to the fact that I have all power in heaven and earth, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. If you compare that with Mark 16, in Mark 16 he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. There seems to be an indication here that the nations are those that have come out of the tribulation. Look in Matthew 25. In Matthew chapter 25, and notice in verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I'm saying that those on the right hand of Matthew 25:34 are the nations of Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. I'm saying that it's the millennial reign of Christ, and in the millennial reign of Christ, Israel will go as a nation, and Israel will teach the nations of this world to worship the Lord. He said, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. Well, look back in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, and notice in verse 21, You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. I'm saying that that will be in the millennium. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. Why, you can't place that in the dispensation of grace, no matter how you try. There ain't no possible way that you can say that that's a church doctrine. Look in verse 27. You have heard that it was said to them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman and lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And he goes on and tells them, if your right eye or your hand or foot offend you, pluck it out. You'd be better off with one eye, one hand, one foot than to be cast into hell. Go to verse 32. I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again and on, he says. But you know the very clincher is verse 34. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is footstool, neither by Jerusalem. It is the city of the great King. And bless your soul, Jesus is the great King. It has to do with the time when Jesus the King reigns upon the throne of his father David in the millennium. It's that thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that isn't all. Look in Matthew chapter 23. In Matthew chapter 23, and look at verse 1. Matthew 23, 1, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not you after their works, for they say and do not. In other words, he said that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in the place of authority under the law, having to do with Moses' seat. They bid you to observe the law. They tell you to do the law. Do it. Well, you know that is not church doctrine. The Bible said we're dead to the law. It's got to be that which matches Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, those who went through the tribulation, those of Zechariah chapter 14. Look in Zechariah chapter 14. In Zechariah chapter 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And on. It's that time. All right. Matthew 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Well, he commanded them to keep the New Testament law, and he's very specific about it, but he also told them to keep a law wherein blood sacrifices are offered, and that's very specific. I'm saying to you that Matthew 28 can't possibly be a reference to the church, the body of Christ, nor can it have anything to do with the dispensation in which we're living. It can't have anything to do with that in Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, neither is it in that in Hebrews through up until Revelation chapter 20. It won't fit neither the beginning before the church age, neither will it fit the tribulation after the church age. Sure will fit the millennium, though. Now, notice the commission that he gave them that they carried out, or began to, rather. Look in Mark 16. And I want you to take three passages. I want you to take Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. That's Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. Now, I want you to notice something about these commissions. Number one, it's to the 12 and the 12 only. And I emphasize that. It's to the 12 apostles and to the 12 apostles only. Now, in Mark 16, notice the time. Verse 1, when the Sabbath day was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome came, brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came into the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Hold on then, go to Luke. and look in Luke chapter 24. Time. Luke 24:1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices, and on, they found the stone rolled away, same day as Mark 16. Go to John 20. In John chapter 20, and look in verse 1. John 20, verse 1, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. No doubt about it, all three of them refer to the same day. Now go back to Mark 16. In Mark 16, notice in verse 14, after he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with the unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now he's talking to the apostles, and not anyone else. It's only the apostles. Now how do I know that? I know that by comparing Luke. Hold on to Mark 16 and go to the book of Luke. In Luke chapter 24, verse 13. Luke 24:13, And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus. All right. Verse 14, they talked together, the things that had happened. Verse 15, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. All right, he talks to them. Now, come down to verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered those things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And as they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. Now I know that that's the same as Mark. How do I know it? Let's compare them. Go back to Mark. And look in Mark 16. In Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus risen early the first day of the week, appeared first to Magdalene. Now come to verse 12. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared under the 11, as they said at me. There's no doubt about it. It matches Luke 24. In Luke 24 again, please. In Luke 24, verse 33. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Now, I know there's got to be 11 plus 2. In other words, I know that he appeared unto the 11 and them. Them can't be one. It's got to be at least two. So if I put 11 and 2, I know that there is 13 in the room when he got there. I'm not talking about only 13. At least 13 in the room when they walked in. But when they walked in, there is two of them, so if I add that, I know that I've got 15. In other words, I know that in Mark chapter 16, when Jesus Christ appeared unto the 11, the first day of the week, there is 15 people at least in the room, and only God knows how many more. Now let's try it one more time. In Luke 24, notice verse 33. They rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Come down to verse 36. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they'd seen a spirit. Come down to verse 41. While they yet believe not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broil fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Go back to Mark 16 again, please. In Mark 16, verse 12, after he appeared in another form unto two of them, as they walked, went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, as in Luke 24, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, as in Luke 24, and upbraided them of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. There is no doubt about it, if you believe the Bible means what it says by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Now in verse 15, and he said unto them, who? The 11 of verse 14. He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. There ain't any doubt about it. The commission is given to them and them only. Somebody said, But Brother Moore, you said it's given unto 12. That's right, it is. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. First, I want you to turn to John 20. In John chapter 20, and notice in verse 19. John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. I'm saying that the words of verse 22 and 23 match the commission of Mark 16, verse 15, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, anybody that you tell them their sins are remitted, they're remitted unto them. Everybody you tell their sins are retained, they're retained unto them. How do they do this? They do this based upon their surrender to the gospel message they were preaching and their surrender to the water baptism that went with that gospel. But that isn't all. Go back to John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verse 24, But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore saith unto him, We've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails, thrust my hand into his side, I'll not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and saith, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas saith, answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now, Thomas is not there at that first meeting. And yet there's 11 of them gathered together in there. There ain't but one possible way that can work out. That is, that Matthias is that other apostle, even though they don't recognize Matthias as that other apostle until after Jesus ascends. In other words, they don't understand all this yet, but nevertheless, Matthias is there, and Matthias is reckoned with the other 10, excluding Thomas. 8 days later, though, Thomas shows up, and then Thomas is one of them. Now, why do I say the commission is to the 12 then? Well, go to Acts, and look in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Why am I to be so naive as to believe that? The 12 stayed with him for 40 days, and that during that 40 days, he didn't teach them the commission that he had given the 11 when he's in that room? Why, certainly he gives it to Thomas. After Thomas is with him, he taught them for 40 days pertaining to that ministry that they're to carry on after he goes back to heaven. I'm saying that the commission of Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20 are to the 12 and the 12 alone. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the season which the Father put in his own power, but you. Who are the you? They're the 12. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost had come upon you. And you, who are the you? The 12. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. It is no doubt about it. Jesus Christ gave the commission unto the 12 and to the 12 only, and the Bible does not include anybody else, and nobody can prove by King James Bible that there is anybody else included in it. In fact, it is so specific that in Mark 16 it said that he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, yet it's obvious that there are at least 15 people in the room. And he said unto them, who? The 11. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But wait a minute. He begins to tell them the pattern later on. And in Acts chapter 1, he teaches the 12 for 40 days and then says, you are going to be baptized. You're going to receive power. And you're going to be witnesses unto me, first in Jerusalem, and on and on. Who? The 12. There's no doubt about it. The 12 get the commission. The commission is to the 12 and to the 12 only. It is not to the church, which is the body of Christ. Now, Paul could not possibly be included. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, keeping in mind that the Apostle Paul doesn't get saved until Acts chapter 9. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Well, then Paul couldn't be working on the foundation that the apostles had at that time. The apostle Paul didn't get saved until Acts chapter 9. He was not included in the 40-day period when Jesus taught them. He's not included in that 11 that are in that room when Jesus appeared unto them. He's not in that 12 in Acts chapter 1 when he said, you shall receive power, you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, and you shall be witnesses unto me, and on. Paul cannot be included, but that isn't all. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1:17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You couldn't mistake that by comparing with Mark 16 if you tried. In Mark 16, he appeared unto the 11 and said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. In Acts chapter 2, they began to carry out the commission, and those people said, what must we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And yet Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Well, then Paul couldn't possibly be preaching the same gospel of Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16. Paul couldn't possibly be in that group that are called the 12 apostles. There is no possible way. But that isn't all. Turn, please, to Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, and notice in verse 8. Ephesians 4, verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." Verse 11, "And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers." Now, when did he give some apostles, and on? When he ascended up on high? Well, let's see about it again now. Verse 8, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men." All right, Jesus Christ then ascended up on high. When did he ascend up on high? Look back in Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, Paul tells them, "I want you to understand something." Verse 19, "What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Now, watch how this works. It is unmistakable. Jesus Christ died on Calvary. Jesus Christ arose from the dead, spent 40 days with the apostles. After the 40 days, Jesus Christ ascended up, and in Acts chapter 7, Stephen looked and saw him there. There ain't no doubt about it. He's in the heavens at that time. According to the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1, Psalm chapter 2, numerous psalms, there's no doubt about that. "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." He was sitting, or rather, he was in the heavens. But wait a minute. I know that the devil and his angels are in the heavens. The devil and his angels are not cast out of the heavens until the other side over here. If I go across the dispensation of grace, I know the rapture takes place, and then the tribulation is over here, and in Revelation chapter 12, Satan is cast out. There's war in heaven, and Satan is cast down. Well, Satan was in the heavens Mark chapter 16, Satan was in the heavens in all these others over here. I mean, there ain't any doubt about it. Satan is still in the heavens. And yet, when Jesus Christ ascended up on high, he ascended up far above all heavens and every name that is named and all principality and power. Well, then what am I talking about? I'm talking about that in Ephesians chapter 4, the commission has to do of making apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers after Jesus Christ ascended up above every name that is written, both in heaven and in the worlds to come and on and on. Why, that of Ephesians chapter 4, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers, can't possibly be before he ascended up above every name that is named, above all heavens, and so forth. Therefore, I know there is no possible way that an individual can believe this Bible means what it says, as it says it, where it says it, and include Paul in the commission of Mark 16, Luke 24, and John 20. Now, notice that they are the same. Go back to Mark 16 again. In Mark 16, 15, he said, "Go and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." Look in Luke 24. In Luke chapter 24, verse 46. "And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Why, that's the same as Mark 16. In Mark 16, they're to preach, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. How do I know that? I know it by what they did in Acts chapter 2. Peter said, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. I know that Luke 24, verse 47 matches Mark 16 and Acts chapter 2, verse 38. But that also matches John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, verse 22. John 20, 22. "When he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained." There is no doubt about it. All right, then notice, not only is the commission given to the 12 and to the 12 only, the pattern given for the commission is specific. Notice in Mark 16, and I won't ask you to turn there, but in Mark 16, he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, how are they to do this? There is a pattern to carry it out. Notice in Luke 24, verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, then the pattern is laid out. Turn to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, and notice in verse 8, Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. There was a pattern then that is clear as to how they're to carry out this commission. Let's just say that this right here represents the Mediterranean Sea. Here's the Sea of Galilee. This represents the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. There's an imaginary line down across there like this. And down here is Judea. Up here is a Samaria. And it represents the nation Israel, the 10 tribes. In other words, the 10 tribes had been carried away captive by an Assyrian king, had drifted back into the territory. The 10 tribes are up here. Judah and Benjamin are down here. Now, he said you're to start first in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of the great king, and Jerusalem will be the first included in the salvation when the Lord returns. The commission is first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, and then under the 10 tribes, and after all Israel is saved, as in Romans chapter 11. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. All right, all Israel will be saved, and after all Israel is saved, Matthew chapter 28, then they will go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And folks, you know what there is great about all that? It makes sense. It makes sense. All that business of the Carmelite grabbing Mark 16 and the Pentecostal grabbing another one and the Baptist grabbing this and all that, I mean, folks, none of it makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, you say, who are you? Well, I'm not much, but I'm me. I mean, I was born and raised in the country, and being born and raised in the country, I've got the advantage over some people that are educated, and I've got plain old common sense. All that just makes plain common sense, but that ain't all. I believe that anybody's led by the Spirit be able to see that. Notice another passage. Turn, please, to Mark, and look in Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7. In Mark chapter 7 and verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Why, you see then why that Peter would be so perplexed in Acts chapter 10. I mean, Peter's been given the commission. He knows the children are first to be fed. And so he's to go first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to every creature. Well, he knows that he's to go to every creature and preach the gospel to every creature, but he knows it's only after the children, which is the nation Israel, after the children are fed, then the Gentiles, referred to as dogs, they get whatever's left over. Now, the commission's got a pattern. That isn't all. Notice the tremendous power and authority given to the 12 in carrying out the commission. Jesus tells them in Mark 16, go and preach the gospel to every creature. In John chapter 20, he said, receive you the Holy Ghost, whosoever sins you retain, they retain. Whosoever sins you remit, they remit it unto them. Now turn to Matthew chapter 16. In Matthew chapter 16, And notice in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now the passage is clear. You talk about authority, he's given him authority. You bind it on earth, it's bound in heaven. You loose it on earth, it's loosed in heaven. Now how can God trust that Peter will know which is right and which is wrong? Because of the fact that he said, "You shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." And he said, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses." In other words, then, this power that comes from the Holy Ghost is going to give them the authority that they need to discern between that which is right and that which is wrong. Hence, you'll find in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias comes in, Peter said, "Is it true, Ananias? Did you sell the lamp?" "Yeah." He said, "Why'd you keep back part of that which belonged to the Lord," in effect, and on, and Ananias died. Later on, Sapphira came in, and Peter said, "Is it true that you did this thing?" And she said, "Yes, it is." He said, "They've carried your husband out and buried him. They'll be back and get you shortly." And she fell over dead. Then in Acts chapter 8, you'll notice that Philip is preaching over there, and there are many of them that believe Philip while he preaches, and they repent of their sins, and they get baptized, and their hands are laid on them by the apostles. And then there is a man there that he tries to buy this with money. And yet Peter said, "Thy heart is not right with God." They've got the authority. He knows by the power of the Holy Ghost that came upon them. You see, the thing is clear. Jesus is an apostle sent forth by God the Father. Say that this right here represents the birth of Jesus Christ. You come over, and when he becomes about 30 years of age here, and he's ready to begin his ministry, the power, empowering Spirit of God came upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible calls him the apostle in Hebrews chapter 3. The apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's an apostle. That is, he's one sent forth by God the Father, and when God sent him forth, God empowered him to perform miracles. He empowered him to discern between right and wrong, and so forth. And so Jesus goes and finally dies. Then Jesus Christ teaches the 12, and then he ascends up. And when Jesus Christ ascended up, he told them, "You shall receive power. You shall be baptized." And on the day of Pentecost, just as God the Father gave the empowering Holy Spirit to Jesus the apostle, Jesus sent the empowering Holy Spirit, which he received from God the Father, as in Acts chapter 2, and he sent that and baptized the 12 and empowered them. Therefore, just as Jesus Christ had the ability and the power to perform miracles, the 12 had the ability and power to perform miracles. Just as Jesus Christ had the power to raise the dead, the apostles had the power to raise the dead. Just as Jesus Christ knew what was in man by the powering Spirit of God that was in him, the 12 knew what was in man by the empowering Spirit that was in them. It can't go wrong, folks. They had the authority, so that he said, "Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven." Now, the Great Commission. The commission to the 12 and to the 12 only, Paul not included. The pattern for carrying out the commission is first Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the earth. The tremendous power and authority given to the 12 in carrying out the commission is the empowering Holy Spirit that was in Jesus Christ. And then the fourth and the last thing, their decision not to carry out the Great Commission is very important. Turn, please, to Galatians chapter 20. In Galatians chapter 20. I'm sorry, Galatians 2. Galatians 2. If you find Galatians 20 in your Bible, you got a bad Bible. Galatians 2. Sorry about that. Galatians 2, and notice in verse 7. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Now what right have they got not to carry out the commission? Now you must keep in mind that God told them you're to go first in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He gave them the commission, he empowered them, instructed them, and sent them out, and yet they didn't do it. Why, in Acts chapter 10, Peter is sitting on that housetop, the commission's not working, it appears to him, and he's very perplexed. And when God finally sends him to Cornelius' house, and he gets inside that house, he said it's an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to come unto one of another nation. Why would he say a thing like that? I mean, didn't God say, go and preach the gospel to every creature? Yeah, he said that. But you see, he had a pattern in which he's to do it. He's to start first in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and it isn't until after the children of Pharaoh that he would be permitted to go to such men as Cornelius. And yet, here he is being sent to Cornelius' house before it's all over. But you see, they don't carry out the commission, and instead they changed it. They heard of Paul's ministry. In Acts chapter 15, Paul preaches unto them, and as in Galatians 2 verse 1, then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, I went up by revelation, communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but prior to them which were of reputation, and on and on. Why, Paul went there to Jerusalem in Acts 15. He gave them that gospel that Christ had given unto him. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and through all this thing they had and whatever, they came to an understanding about this thing. And they realized that the Great Commission was to be set in abeyance during the time that Paul's ministry was carried on. And instead of going to Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and then to the Gentiles, they dropped the whole thing. And look at them again in Galatians 2, verse 9. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they saw it. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. They shook hands on the thing, made a deal, so to speak. What? That we should go unto the heathen, they unto the circumcision. What they bound on earth was bound in heaven. Why, God had told them that. In other words, they had the same authority over here that Jesus Christ had back here. People are afraid to admit that. Why, just as God Almighty empowered Jesus Christ back here, and just as the words that Jesus Christ said back here are absolutely true and indisputable, the words that the 12 later on wrote down and the things they did over here are true and indisputable, and there's no way to get around it. Just as Jesus operated by the power of the Holy Ghost, they operated by the power of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when they shook hands with Paul and made an agreement with the Apostle Paul that no longer were they going to try to go to Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and then to the heathen, they made an agreement that they weren't going to do that anymore. They're turning the whole thing over to Paul, and they themselves were going only to the circumcision. They did not try to carry out the Great Commission after Acts chapter 15. Then why are some of the people today trying to carry it out? Well, I reckon because the love for money is the root of all evil. The idea is to put the Great Commission in with Matthew chapter 24. This gospel must be preached in all the world for witness unto all nations, and provoke the people to send in the money so that you can carry the gospel, the Great Commission, and all that kind of stuff. Well, you're not under the Great Commission. The Great Commission has been set in abeyance for a greater commission. That greater commission is the commission given through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Read it with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and notice in verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because with us judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Come down to verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, and on. We now have a commission. We are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, and as Jesus Christ died for us, we should die unto ourselves. As Jesus Christ died unto himself, we to die.